This is the first thing prisoners hear when they enter the Alabama prison system. It's also the last thing when they come out.
They give you a bus ticket and a check for $10, and they say, have a nice life.
That's Brenda Lee Kennedy. She was incarcerated in the Montgomery Work Release Center for nearly 5.5 years before being released in November of last year.
They put you out of the gate, they take you to the bus station, and you're free. You are thrust back into society with absolutely nothing.
It's a common complaint among ex-convicts. After what could be decades behind bars, inmates are dumped back into society essentially on their own. Critics call it the second sentence.
You typically lose your driver's license when you go to prison. When you come out of prison, you have to report to your probation officer.
Joyce White Vance is the U.S. Attorney for the Northern District of Alabama.
You're certainly going to be trying to find a new job. At some point, you're probably going to get behind the wheel of a car without a driver's license. You're probably going to get pulled over. You're probably going to get rearrested. That's a reentry fail.
Why should Alabama care? Vance says if ex-cons aren't working a job, they're likely to be doing something else.
People come out of prison, they commit new crimes, they go back to prison. The goal is for people to come out of prison and not commit more crimes, for people to go back and become hardworking, tax-paying members of the community who are engaged with their family. And the question is, why doesn't that happen?
Again, why should Alabama care? Vance says because a lot of Alabamians have done jail time.
The numbers that come out of the Alabama Department of Corrections say that 1 in 4 adults in Alabama has had either a felony or a misdemeanor conviction.
That's a lot of job application forms with a little checkbox that asks if you've been convicted. Many businesses shy away from hiring people who check that box with a yes. Vance's office is unusual because it's the first in the nation to hire an attorney specifically to get inmates back into the workforce when they get out of prison.
This is our youth department. This is where the juvenile justice program is here.
The private sector is trying to help too. That's where the Dannon Project comes in.
What my husband's family and I wanted to do was to start an agency that provided a prescription, if you will, to provide support for people when they come home.
Carrie Pruitt founded the Birmingham-based group to help former prisoners find jobs. A personal tragedy got her going. Pruitt's brother-in-law, Dannon, was killed by someone recently released from prison. She and her husband started the Dannon Project to systematically prepare inmates to re-enter society.
Your case managers still stay in contact with you weekly or biweekly. We have retention specialists that stay engaged. We have mentors that stay engaged.
That work also includes things like getting a proper ID and a social security card.
I had nothing, no car, no nothing, no family here, no nothing.
That's Fletcher Strong. He went through the program at the Dannon Project and is still seeing the benefits.
I'm still on that same job, and now I'm a supervisor. I'm in school, taking college courses. See, I made it to the 7th grade, got my GED, and now I'm in college.
Carrie Pruitt says the Dannon Project doesn't wait for people to come to them. The group goes into prisons as well to work alongside reentry efforts of the state.
Supervising you there. All right, what happened to SRP?
Right now,
shut it down. Right. So you don't have to worry about SRP now.
These are the reentry courses going on at Limestone Correctional Facility. The inmates are within 6 months of their EOS or end of sentence. Mary Weston is the pre-release program supervisor at Limestone. She says there are a number of courses the inmates are required to take part of as part of their reentry process.
So it's family reintegration, anger management, substance abuse, along those lines. Everything that's like a criminogenic behaviors or needs is what we focus on in the core curriculum.
If you check in yourself, there's a system that's like what they call a soft core, so that won't hurt you.
The Limestone facility has room for 300 inmates who are EOSing, and the reentry program here often takes on prisoners from other sites across the state. Weston says some of the ones who have the hardest time transitioning are the people who have been locked up for a long time.
You know, the world's moved on. Things have changed. And so it tries to help them prepare from a cognitive behavioral standpoint, where they can help process information better, make better decisions, make better choices. I mean, the goal here is to reduce recidivism rates, to help them stay out and be productive members of society, and to reintegrate successfully back with their families.
Weston says it's ultimately up to the person whether or not they succeed upon release.
I went back to school and got my associate's degree, bachelor's degree, my law degree. I'm licensed to practice law in Minnesota and North Carolina.
Daryl Atkinson is taking up that challenge. He was sentenced to 10 years for a nonviolent first offense drug crime. He served just over 3 years before he was released.
I highlight those particular ticks on the resume not to illustrate any exceptional attributes that I have. I'm pretty average. I left 100 brilliant men behind the wall.
Despite all the effort, Alabama still has a recidivism rate of almost 30%. So for just about every Darrell Adkinson, there's another person who breaks the law again, costing the state more tax dollars as they're arrested, tried, convicted, and sent to prison. For APR News, I'm Stan Ingold at the Limestone Correctional Facility.